Well, we're teaching again tonight on our subject, the mountain moving faith. We're still in that direction in our teaching. The last time we were teaching, we started into the areas of righteousness, talking about righteousness. We're going to look more into this subject of righteousness. Because dealing with the areas of faith, this is one thing that's important. We could talk about the principles of faith. If we talk about really our emphasis, really dealing the areas of faith, the scriptures of Mark 11, 23 and 24 are a foundation. And really that's the principle of faith. That's how, you know, faith works. But there's things that affect faith. Is number one, a person, many times people understand the principles of faith, but there's other things that they don't know. And if there's other things you don't know, it's going to hinder your operation of faith. And one of the major keys to faith is righteousness. If a person doesn't understand the subject of righteousness, they're always going to have a lot of difficulty in the areas of faith. Because faith is based upon this. It's based upon confidence in God. You know, people say and talk about trust in God. But many times people are talking about trusting God, but they really don't have confidence toward God that God will respond to them. That's why, you know, they come up with the teachings and stuff, and people say, well, if, you know, God can do anything, and if he wants to, he will. Sometimes he does, sometimes he don't. What it is, well, how could you have a trust to somebody that you didn't know what they were going to do? So dealing the areas of confidence in God is having confidence in really, righteousness is that basis of confidence in God. If you don't, people don't understand that. Religion has perverted righteousness, and people didn't do it intentionally, but it's always man and whole man's whole ideal of righteousness. E.W. Kenyon, I have a book of his on righteousness, and also he, well, another book I have is called To Righteousness. It's which deals with man's righteousness and the righteousness by faith, and. The majority of the church world really operates in its own righteousness. They don't understand the subject of righteousness, and that's why people go along and really a lot of the teaching that goes on is really passed on down. And what it does, it leaves people probably more of an inferiority complex when it comes to God than confidence. The Word of God doesn't build confidence in him because most people are taught from the standpoint of, you know, God's big, he knows everything and everything. And like I said before, God's taught in a sense that he puts up with us. You know, God loves you, and because he loves you, he tolerates you. It's not he loves you. We miss the mark, or if you do something wrong, and God loves you, but it's out of tolerance. We talked about before dealing with the subject of grace. We're taught grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Well, in a sense, that's true, but really, that's not the foundation of grace of the Bible. The grace of the Bible is based upon God's love. God loves man. God wanted man. God didn't look at man as he didn't deserve to be saved. He never viewed man. You go read from the book of Genesis on through. God never viewed or talked that way, that man didn't deserve it. In fact, it's amazing if you study on some of the things in the end times, during the end times period, one of the things, I'm not sure exactly where it is, one of the prophets makes the statement, where God makes this statement concerning Israel. He says concerning Israel about the end times that he's not going to save them because of anything that they've done. He said, I'm going to save you for my name's sake. In other words, I'm going to do it because I said I would. I'm going to save you. Because, the whole thing of it is the nation of Israel has gone against the Messiah. In doing so, they went against God. And so God said, I'm going to save you, so I'm going to do it. So in other words, God didn't look down whether they deserved it or it had nothing to do with it. God said, I gave my word that I was going to save Israel, so I'm going to do it. I gave him a word on it, so I'm going to do it. And so, and as understanding that, is one of the things, is a revelation that I got when I was only born again a few months. And I had a really short vision, but in that vision, I had asked the Lord a question one day. I was sitting in his Reese Candy Company. I was sitting in the locker room. It was lunchtime, and I went down to the locker room, and I was sitting in the locker room, and I had sitting in front of my locker, had the door of the locker open, and I'm sitting there, and I had my Bible. I had been sitting and reading some, and I had my Bible there, and I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, I said, from what I see of the Word, you know everything. You know it all. You're the genius. You know, the Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. In other words, from we deal with time, there's nothing that God doesn't know. God doesn't, tomorrow's not, God's not going to sit down wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows. God knows the end of all of our lives. He's going to know, he knows beforehand whether we're going to respond to him or not. He knows it. And I sat down and I said to God about this, you know everything. Well, and I said, in the Bible teaches us that. And I said, now, so why did you create man? Because you knew what the outcome of this was going to be. I said, when you created Adam, you knew Adam was going to fall. I said, you know, preachers preach like, you know, God just off the spur of the moment, oh man, Adam fell, now I got to change my plan. Well, he knew all of that. I mean, God knew everything. And I just said to the Lord, I said, why did you create man? You knew all this. I mean, there's people going to go to end up in hell. And people, you know, God created man. But now, understand this, God created the human, and the human was created different than any other being in the earth. Because we were the only being that was created like him. We have choice. We had choice of destiny. He gave man the choice of destiny. Even though he knows what man's going to do, he didn't predestine man's choice. No man's. Now, when the Bible uses the term of predestination, it talks about the fact of the Christian is predestined. When you accept Jesus, you're predestined to different things because you're in the kingdom. So, and that's what it talks about, predestination. It don't mean that people were predestined to be saved and some weren't. Now, some people believe that and teach it. But that's not true, because if that was so, it wouldn't matter how you lived or what you do, you'd be saved or not. So it don't matter. And that's where Calvinism and the basis of most churches in America, the majority of the church world, and even spirit-filled churches, the majority of them, their basis is a Calvinism type of base to it. God can do what he wants, God knows, and you know, God makes choices, and they basically teach a Calvinistic point of view. Calvin was the guy that really pushed that to an extreme. But they have that because the majority of your seminaries and Bible schools in America teach Calvinism. That's what they teach. And that's why people don't understand faith, they don't understand these things, but I asked the Lord, why? And in an instant I had a vision. It's amazing, I don't know how God does it. But I couldn't have had that vision no more than a split second. But yet, what it showed me, it seemed like it was so much. I mean, it was like, but I saw in a split second God's creation of man, that man was God's plan to deal with the devil and put sin away from the other. Man was the key, and the Lord spoke to me then. He said, man was my key to deal with sin for eternity. You see, if God wouldn't have redeemed man, God would have caused himself the most huge problem. I mean, he would have been so stupid not to. Man was the most valuable thing he ever did. God had never created, up to the time the human was created as in the earth as we know, no one had ever been created in his image and his likeness. No one had ever, nothing had been. There's no being. You can go back to the history of all the animals and everything in the world. There's nothing that was ever created. Man was the first one that was ever created. It was through man that redemption came. God didn't, we look at redemption as God redeeming man, just God redeeming man. That is really a shallow view. Because what we're looking at is man sinned, God had to redeem man. Yes, he did. God put sin away from it. God didn't just have to redeem man. God had to have a plan that dealt with Satan for eternity. And that's what he did. He dealt with Satan for eternity. Sin has to be dealt with and had to be dealt with justly and righteously and done right. God just couldn't say, well, I'm just going to zap Satan and blow him away. You can't do that. No spirit being is not eternal. All spirit beings are eternal. Any spirit being, whether it's angel or human spirit, whether, you know, anything is divine or demonic, human spirits are eternal beings. They are not, they don't get destroyed. They don't cease to exist. That's why the lake of fire is going to be eternal. That punishment's eternal because the people that are going to be put there are going to be there eternally. They're spiritually, they're going to be there eternally. It's not going to be for a certain period of time. That's why as beings as we are, we're going to, the heaven's talked about it eternal. It's eternal because we're all eternal beings. Animal life and that is not eternal. They don't have a spirit. So man was the only thing that's made like God. God is a spirit. So is if we don't understand these things as the place that man sits in God's plan, that man was the key that God used is to deal to change eternity. Without man, there would not be a new heaven and a new earth. It wouldn't be any point because sin would continue to exist and go on. Sin and all sin is going to be put in the lake of fire, and never again is it going to ever affect anything in God's creation. It will never happen again. It's never going to take place again. Why? Because of the plan that man sent by creating the human being like him, same type of spirit being as he is, through that became Satan's demise. Man was the key to it. Now, God didn't create man to lose man. That's what man made choices. But God, to deal with Satan, had to do it that way. He had to do it in that manner. Because he has to deal with everything righteous and just. He couldn't create robot people that couldn't, without choice, and deal with this thing. He had to do it in the way that he did it. And so God set in motion these things. And man is the most valuable thing that God has. It's the most valuable commodity that he had ever produced. The most valuable commodity. That's why it's like in our nation, like in America. America's, you know, in a downfall. And it's one of the things is America's in a downfall and will continue to downfall as long as they don't, like, you know, with God. God, what he created, what came out of him, humanity, his offspring, humanity, is the most important thing to him. It's the most important thing. I mean, read the scriptures. What's the most important thing to God? What's it all about? He's going to the ending comes. God makes a new heaven and earth and says, God comes and lives with man. This is the whole thing. God's going to come and live with his family. And it's just like we can see where man, what sin does, you know, today we kill our offspring. You know, that's what you do. You kill your offspring, you know. I mean, even after they're born, you know, people see more and more. The more people get into sin, the more they do. They're killing their kids and doing all kind of crazy stuff. All that kind of stuff. That's what Satan said. Satan will destroy his offspring. We have God. God's offspring mean the most to him of anything. You know, God's, the New Jerusalem is not God's big deal. It's not God's, you know, people look at all the heaven and they go, wow, streets of gold. Wow. No, that's what we get to enjoy. That's for his offspring. that's who it's for. And see, if you don't understand, if you get a wrong picture about God, you begin to look at man and you look at grace as something that God did in spite of us. No, grace is what God did because of us. There's a whole huge difference. Grace was God's greatest outreach, the most important thing that he had in the earth that he wanted. There was nothing else in this earth that he wanted. He didn't want there. There's going to be a new heaven and earth, so the earth itself isn't. This wasn't his treasure. The Bible says it belonged, the world's his, and all that dwell therein, everything's his. But what did he want? He wanted mankind. That's what he wants. And so when we get that picture, we need to understand those things, because if we don't, you're always going to have a faith that is always a faith based upon inferiority. God's great and I'm not. God's a big deal, and if he wants to say no to me, he can. What am I going to do about it? He's God. And most Christianity, that's where their faith is based upon. Their faith is based upon that God can say, look, I want to do this, but he can say yes or no, and it don't matter, and you don't have a say. God's not like that. God didn't create you. You know, if God doesn't give me a say, I don't have to give him any either. I can act just like him. I can act just like my daddy. See, Christians have all this stuff all wrong. If God can't act in one way and we're not allowed to. God can't demand me to walk in love and he don't. If he does, I'm better than he is. I don't need him. The church thinks that God can do all this stuff and he can act in ways and he can do things. And this is why people's faith don't work toward him, because you can't have confidence in him thinking he can do anything he wants. That's not the way it works. You know? I remember, you know, God's always honored things concerning me and doing things. Because I've always said to God, from the time I was a young Christian, well, Lord, if you ain't going to take care of my stuff, I ain't taking care of yours. Oh, most people, you can't say that to God. Well, if I can't, I ain't hanging. I don't want to spend eternity with a bully. Most people are going to go to heaven with a bully. Their heaven is a bully. He's a guy that's going to demand everything out of you, and he don't have to stand up to nothing. If anybody's good to his word, it's God. And so when we look at grace, if you think that God is this one, you know, God's out here. I mean, he looks at us, and he created us to be like him. Why would he create us to be like him, and we can't be nothing like him? It's really odd, the thinking of the church. And it comes down to these things. And dealing with the earth, this is why, is when you talk about righteousness, when the subject of righteousness, it's very hard for the church world to understand these things because of our concept of God, concept of how He is. I mean, it's really hard for people to think that God would put the human, you know, there would be equality between God and the human being. Most people do not think that way. I mean, just think about it. God came out of heaven to be a man, to walk with men, and then to redeem man for this purpose. He didn't come down to march around down here to be as low as we are. It's so we could sit where He is. It's so we could rise up to where He's at. In other words, God's whole intent was to bring humanity up to His level, because humanity started off on His level and lost it. And His whole thing was, I'm getting man back to my level again. But this time He brought man back to His level. It wasn't like before, just because man missed the mark, then he falls down to the other level. That's all been changed through Jesus Christ. Really, Satan never saw this thing coming. He never saw this thing happening. But the treasure, if other things are God's treasure and God doesn't look at man as such a valuable, precious thing, why is Satan so after man? You know, if you want to get at somebody, get at whatever's the most precious to them. Well, Satan ain't after the cars and the gold. And that ain't what he's after. He's after people. That's what he's after. Why? Because that's the most precious thing to God. That's his, what is the most valuable thing to God is man. But yet, most of Christianity doesn't believe that. They don't look at it. I don't know how many times I've heard ministers say, well, you know, God doesn't really need us. I'm going to tell you what, God needs Ed Gibson. If he didn't like any of the rest of you guys, I know he liked me. And he set in motion what he did through eternity before the foundation of the world to send Jesus to get Ed. And he said, God don't need us. Well, if God don't need us, then he needs to let me alone and quit bugging me to do stuff for him. You know, it's like, it's the dumbest thing that people would say, would come out of the mouths of ministers, and it really, he doesn't need us. All it does is breed inferiority in people. If God's building inferiority in you and me, then God does not expect you and I to trust Him. So this whole thing of faith is a big hoax. This is not a big hoax. This is the real thing. Because God is so trustworthy. God has great confidence in us. And we really are a treasure to, you know, to God, to what He's after. Man is so valuable in what man was created to be and do to carry out God's plan in the earth. And it's really, just think about this. Because we have been obedient to God, we accepted Jesus and decided to walk in that path, sin's going to be put away for eternity because of us. You know, it ain't going to be put eternity just because of God. Man had to do something. Man had to cooperate with it. It ain't going to happen if nobody cooperates with it. If man said to God, go jump, you know what God would have to do? Go jump. What's he going to do? What if Jesus came and died? Nobody wants Jesus. Nobody wants Jesus. God's plan would have been sunk. God needs man. He created it that way. Man is his valuable treasure in this earth. And we need to see ourselves. So we're dealing on a subject of righteousness. In Romans, the first chapter, we had read before in verse 16 where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, or in the gospel, it says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Righteousness is what? What's revealed in the gospel? It says righteousness. You know, Apostle Paul didn't say, you know what's revealed in the gospel? Forgiveness of sin. Now that's what you hear almost all the time. Paul said, no righteousness. I have never met anybody who believes that forgiveness of sin is the biggie of the gospel who actually can walk by faith well. Forgiveness of sin is not going to give you the confidence. All is it, God forgave me. I'm this low-level bum, and He forgave me. Oh, that'll make your faith big. It's righteousness. Righteousness is the problem with most people in dealing with the areas of faith, because righteousness means that there's being right. When people don't believe they're right, when people don't believe, especially we'd say a right standing, my faith is based upon my right standing with God. If I don't have a right standing, and you can look at this in the earth, if you would have works for somebody who didn't like you, and they were your boss or your employer or whomever, they don't like you. And so you have an inferiority concerning your standing with them. You don't have much confidence about asking them for anything or anything like that, do you? I'm going to tell you what, asking God for anything is based upon, do I have the right and do I have the right standing to ask for it? Am I allowed to ask for this? Can I do it? Faith's based, I don't care if you know the principle of faith. It won't work because one thing that has to happen, you have to have a confidence in your heart or you cannot operate that principle. It's totally impossible. Your confidence. So John wrote and said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know we have the petition. Can you imagine anybody saying, John said anything in that book, because this is my confidence. I know if God, if I ask, God hears me, and if I know he hears me, I know I have it. How many people do you ever hear preach that? They don't. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. They don't say that in the Bible nowhere, but that's constantly preached, and it's preached by people who have no, they don't understand their right standing. They don't believe they have a right standing with God. They don't believe they have a right to. But yet we find that Paul said it's the gospel reveals this righteousness or the ability to be right before God. Now, religion, and here's where it's most of it comes from, where people do in religion. Religion is always trying to make itself righteous or trying to find a way to be righteous. That's what it does. You know, people can start off the right foot in the Bible. Yes, we need to accept Jesus. No, they go through that. But really what they do from there on out is they try to become righteous before God. They try to do things righteous. And what they do is they measure their righteousness. And, you know, sometimes they think they do pretty good. Now I'm really confident. And then they don't do so good. And then I'm not confident. And so it's just a nice roller coaster ride that goes nowhere. So what they do is this then, that they make up religions that, okay, then we'll all, yeah, okay, let's find certain practices. We'll have these certain things. If I do, then it makes me good. If I wear these certain type of clothes and we do these certain kinds of things, then if I follow this code, and what that is a righteousness by works. If I follow this code, now I'm doing this. Now I can ask God because I'm doing these things. Boy, God will do this, and then as soon as they mess up something, and that's it. You know, it's all over again. And but righteousness is revealed, and we need to understand the importance of walking in righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says concerning Christ, it said, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Is the purpose that through Jesus Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Think about it. You and I would become God's righteousness. See, and this is one of the things that we need to understand is the righteousness that we received by faith, that we have by faith, we'll talk about that. The righteousness, this righteousness that we have, is based totally upon God working through Christ Jesus. And we attain God's righteousness. And I think that's a very hard thing. See, people try to think about that and say, well, you know, I can't be as righteous as God. I will guarantee you, most ministers, you're going to have a hard time dealing with it. Talking about you as righteous as God, they'll say no. Say, if the answer to their question would determine whether they would go to heaven or hell, they would end up in hell. Because they don't believe that they're as righteous as God is, yet God made them as righteous as himself through faith in Jesus Christ. Why? We have God's righteousness. If I had God, look, if I went out here and God, you know, it's just from a looking at a natural perspective, God has a car. And God gave me his car. would it become a lesser of God's car just because I got it? you know, would the tires turn square or something? I don't know. Would it turn from a V8 to a four-cylinder? I don't know. But this is what people get this idea. We talk about God's righteousness. They can't equate it because they're trying to look at it from a natural standpoint. It is something we receive. It is spiritually what we are. But when man doesn't know a thing about faith, remember Paul wrote, he said this righteousness is, he said, the just shall live by faith. Now, in other words, it is from faith to faith. In other words, it is by faith. By faith, faith doesn't walk by what it sees, feels, touches, tastes. Remember, went back over the thing, Abraham. Abraham's faith was considered righteous. Why? Because he didn't consider. He only considered the promise of God, not the deadness of Sarah's womb and his old man body. He didn't consider those. See, if you measure what you do based against what God said you are, you'll always think that you aren't what God said you were. He'll always do it. See, we are before. If God says that I'm righteous, I can't measure it against what I see in the natural. It's like Abraham. Abraham could not measure the promise of God against the age of his body and against the age of Sarah's. If he did, he wasn't righteous. Not in standing of God's promise. He wasn't righteous. He's acting unrighteous. Many Christians sin constantly and think they're a good person because they live totally by sight. And they think if I just do some nice works, I don't cuss, swear, I don't do these things. That's nice, don't do it. I mean, that's good. But that isn't what makes you a good person. It's by faith. God has promises, but they don't believe the promises are true. They don't believe it's true. They don't believe the stuff. You know, I got saved, but I'm still an old sinner, saved by grace. You have righteousness of God? No, I'm not that either. No, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. They take one scripture, take it out of its context, put it over here, put it in, and walk around, and they're not living one day from the next by faith. They don't live any days by faith. They don't think you can. And the whole time, you know, that's unrighteous living. By faith, to live every day by faith, you got to believe what God's word said is true, whether the circumstances change day after day. That's walking by faith. That's the life of righteousness. The life of righteousness is believing that God's word is true. God says I'm righteous. I wake up in the morning. You know, tomorrow morning I'm going to be as righteous as I was today. I'm going to be as righteous as I was the day that I accepted Jesus Christ. I'm just as righteous the next day. I have God's righteousness. Now, I may not, we have to understand this. We want to learn to live and act out this righteousness. But you will never learn to live and act out righteousness without believing you are righteous. And whose righteousness you got. I found this out a long time ago, that man will live to the standard of what he believes he is. That's what he'll live. He'll live like what he believes he really is. You can always find out what person people really believe they are. Watch their life. They'll live. It's like the Lord told me years ago. He said, most of my people live a lie. He said, they're born again. They're my child. They're righteous. I've healed them. He said, but they go out and live and portray before the world as if they have none of that. He said, they live a lie. He said, they don't live like they're my kids. He said, they live just like the world. They live a lie. See, we don't view things like that. God doesn't see it. Look in the side. This walk of faith. This walk of faith is this place. God sent his son to deal with the sin issue so you and I could be righteous. That was the part. And not have our own righteousness, but a righteousness that he gave us. And so, if we don't attain to that, if we don't attain to that place and that righteousness, in Romans the 10th chapter, Paul says this concerning the Jew and Israel, and we could say this of any time when people get over the areas of religion with men, when men start trying their own righteousness. In Romans the 10th chapter, the apostle Paul wrote and said, starting the first verse, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." So, you know, you'll find a number of times that Paul did in his writings that he talked about the fact his heart was really concerned because Israel nationally turned away from Christ. Now, they had Jews that did accept Jesus, but that was definitely a minority and not a majority. He said, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Now, listen to this. They having a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. See, this is one thing. There's many people out here who religiously, boy, they're really after an idea. They want God. They do. But they're going at it all wrong. See, it doesn't matter how much zeal you have. You know, there are going to be people who are going to spend eternity in hell and have great zeal for God. But they never did what the Bible says to accept Jesus Christ. There's Jews that, I mean, are living lives in my words. They'll follow the law to the T. And if they drop dead today, they'll end up eternally lost. They have a zeal for God, but not the knowledge of God. If you don't have the knowledge of God, you can't come to faith. You can't come to... Now, he says this. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What's the problem? He says that Israel's... We take a look around at people today, and we talk about people out here in this world, and in the church world, and everybody look out here and say, what's the problem with people out here today? I can tell you, it's the ignorance of righteousness. This is why people have gotten so frustrated over the righteousness problem that people turn around and say, just throw religion out completely, just live like you want. They threw it out because the church has no clue about righteousness and what it is. They have no clue. They tell you they can't be righteous, and they're the ones saying they're following God. And so it comes down. There's a righteousness problem. Paul didn't say that in Israel was a sin problem. That there was. If they ain't living in the knowledge of God, then they're living against the knowledge of God. And that's trouble. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. And this is what people today. So what do we have today? Well, you know, so we made up a gospel. There's a gospel made up today, and it's called the gospel of grace. And that gospel of grace that's preached today is God loves everybody, so nobody's going to go to hell. No matter how you live, what you do, you just go on out through, you know. You don't have to repent anymore. If you sin, if you're a Christian, you don't have, if you sin, you don't have to repent anymore. You don't have to do that. None of that kind of stuff counts. You're automatically forgiven. So that, in other words, they laid this thing out. Oh, well, the love of God. Hold it. The love of God. You can't just pull the love of God. We have to deal with the subject of righteousness. Because you throw out love. Well, what do people mean? You tell people the idea of what love is. Most Christians and most spirit-filled Christians in America live under the wrong definition of love. They don't know what it is. They don't live under Bible love. They live in what the world has generated through all the time with all these people and this collective idea of what love is. That love's always, love will never judge. The book of Revelation is definitely not under the love category. That's what they consider. Yet it is. It's the love of God dealing because of righteousness. God does not have an unrighteous love. And if you don't know what righteousness is, you don't know love. It's impossible to understand love without righteousness. There's nothing worse than a family to have the pain in the neck kid and he gets the same stuff as the good kid does. And they wonder why the good kid grows up hating the other kid. It's because the parents have no righteousness. And we all get the same. They got socialism. Socialism has no righteousness. Socialism is a false love that the devil has put in the earth to take care of problems and to deal with people and try to keep everybody happy. And if a guy goes over here and works, we take what he got and goes give the guy that didn't work and all these kind of things. We're doing all this nutty stuff out here. And there's no righteousness involved in any of it. There's no righteousness. They establish their own right idea of what righteousness is. And the church doesn't have a righteousness. People come to the idea that I can walk and live to do anything away, you know, and God is just my, you know, Santa Claus. He's just this guy that's going to, he's going to put up with us. He's this great love guy, and he's just this wonderful guy, and it's all just going to turn out okay, and it's all going to be all right, and it's just, I'm going to tell you what, if it's like that, I don't want to go to heaven, because I can't stand that hell here on the earth. I don't want to spend eternity with that. I would be sick of God in 2 minutes. Because we'd go to heaven. And could you imagine the mess that'll be? It isn't. But it deals because of the subject of righteousness. And that's why man's trying to develop their own righteousness. That's what starts religion. Really, if you go to church world, in the church world today, if you look at beliefs, a lot of the religious beliefs and the differences in religious beliefs among groups is always on the basis of righteousness. People have developed their own ideas of righteousness. And so our group over here, we have this certain type of righteousness. And this is what we do to be right. Oh, no, this is what we do to be right over here. This is what we're doing. This doing this. And you ask them about righteousness and God. No, they ain't got a clue. But their foundation is based upon trying to be right before God, starting to do certain things. And we have this and we have these practices and things. That, whether they're scriptural or unscriptural, it doesn't matter. We do these. We like these. And we do them. And it's man's righteousness. And here that's what Israel is. Israel, he says, they were ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So in other words, there's submission to a certain righteousness. There has to be a submission to it. Now, if I'm just still an old sinner saved by grace and I'm not righteous, well, hold it, something's wrong here. How can I, if I am, that's the way I am, how am I going to submit to this other righteousness? I can't submit to this righteousness. I can't submit to what ain't mine and what I don't have. He said they haven't submitted to the righteousness of God. See, it's one of the things, they didn't accept Christ. This is the great ignorance of the church, is why people accept Jesus to begin with. Most people today that are led to Christ really unscripturally. They don't even know what their need is. They think their need is, I just need sin forgiven, but God's there just to fix my problems. Well, most people, the idea of it is God taking care of natural problems. The problem in this world isn't natural problems. The problems in this world are spiritual problems. There is a God of this world. He's called Satan. And he's in operation, and he's controlling much and many people, and many Christians are controlled by him. And he dominates them and rules them. And we're over here thinking, well, the reason, you know, this goes right, God, you know, God fixed this for me, God fixed that for me. No, it's about people getting fixed. It's about people. And God, through his salvation, was to turn around and revolutionize men, a man. Where man could get a walk in a place of glory, it was not so God could just this fix-it problem in the earth, you know, get me a new house, a new car, get me this, get me that, I need this, I need that. See, people look at that, that's the need. That ain't the need. Most people have no clue what their need is. They don't even know what it is. You know, it's one thing, you know, if God stepped into the earth today and met everything that everybody thought was a need in their life and would step in and fix it to them, in 10 years, it'd probably be worse than what it was. Because most people, it's one thing, if you continue to do what you're already doing, it's going to all fall apart anyhow, and everybody will. Men must be changed. Man has to be changed. He has to be changed spiritually. The problem with man was a spiritual problem. And it can't be fixed by the righteousness of men. The only way it can be fixed is by the righteousness of God. And if man doesn't receive that righteousness, it's never going to work. If man can't find God's way to make them righteous, they will establish their own way of doing it. And this has been one of the great problems. And you want to make sure you don't do it. It seems to me that probably that's one of the easiest things that people gravitate to. You know how many times I've had people, you know, over the years come to me and say things just like with healing. Well, you know, if I think if I would just do this or that, then God would heal me. And it's like, if I would just do this physical, if I would just do this certain thing. In other words, if I would just, you know, I've had people come this, oh, you know, I have this problem and this and that and the other thing. And I told the Lord, if he'd take care of this for me, then I would do this for him. And all those kinds of things are men's righteousness. You know, this is barter system, is a righteousness. Okay, I'm going to go over with God. God, I'll tell you what, you'll answer my prayer if I will do this for you. Now those people that do that, they are completely sincere. If you met them, they all have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. And they have developed their own system of righteousness. And they don't realize that all the time they're living against God. Yet most Christians think they're good Christians. They don't view it that way. You don't have knowledge of God's righteousness and how it works. You'll fall into the system, and you'll have a system. And you'll think, it's good. I could, yeah. And always walk around wondering, I wonder why this doesn't work, though. I just don't seem to get my prayers answered and things don't. I guess just, and then you come along, here's what you do. Then you thought, well, the reason God didn't do that for me is because he didn't do that because he knew I couldn't really handle that. I'm going to tell you, God will give you things. If you can believe God for things, you can get things from God you'd wish you'd never got. Israel wanted a king. God said, that's the wrong thing. They said, no, we want him. He said, you got him. Then he told them what was going to happen to him when they got him. And they got it, I thought, worse than what he said. And they got every bit of it. Anybody ever tells you that you can, if God didn't want you to have something, you couldn't have it? That's the biggest lie that's ever been on the face of the earth. You can believe God. I want to tell you this. You can believe God. You can get anything from God that you can believe for. But you better be able to, it's one thing, you better be spiritual enough to handle it when you get it. Because you may be in big trouble, and that happens to people all the time. That happens to folks all the time. They want an answer to prayer and they get what they want. And they find out they got hell when they got it because they ask. And God said, yeah, okay, you have it. Here you go. Big time. It's one thing is I always learned. I never wanted to have a bunch of money without having a greater spirituality. I've watched people. They get money. As soon as they get some money, God's sitting on the back burner and they're out spending money and having a good time. If you're not spiritual and you get money, you're going to live unspiritual. That's what you're going to do. There's one thing is out there. I'm going to believe God for money. I'm going to learn to develop in that area. I want to have a spirituality because I don't want it to change me. I don't want it to change me about giving. I've seen this. Most people who start gaining more money give less percentage of their money. When they gain money, they give less a percentage. I've seen it all the time. They think because their tithe is larger because of a large amount of money, but before they give a bigger percentage of their money when they were making less. But, oh, I can do this with the money and that with the money, and, oh, I'm giving good to God, or I'm giving this because, you know, I have make this money. They're not near as generous. But see, that's, people don't have spirituality. The foundation of all this problem is based in the areas of righteousness. Man develops his own righteousness, his own ideas, his own way of thinking. And that's one of the things we don't. We walk in the righteousness of God. We have God's righteousness. You want to develop in your confidence toward God. Because in your confidence with God, it's all dealing with your relationship and your union with Him and how you deal with Him and talk to Him. Where do you hold Him in a perspective of who He is and what He is? If you hold God in the perspective of what you think righteousness is, you're going to have a little God. Because you're going to have a God that's no better than you are. Now think about it. This is a lot of people have today out here. They have developed a God in relationship to the righteousness of men, and they have this weenie God. And He's basically fleshly. He's a fleshly God that they serve. He's a God that sort of just lets things go and don't do things, and you can't, you know, count on Him, and, you know, because He's like they are. You can't count on them. So they develop a God after that righteousness that they have. But we're going to have to submit to God's righteousness. When Isaiah made the statement in Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is filthy rags. So that was the first part of the verse, but Isaiah made a statement about looking at man from the fallen nature standpoint. You know, Isaiah spoke. The prophet said, you know, the best we can do, really, in our approach to God, in our approach trying to deal with right, or doing right toward God, hooking up with God, the best we can do is filth. Best we can do. That's on the top of the list. So understand this. The best you can do in the development of your righteousness in approaching God is filth. That's the best you can do. So don't start a religion. Don't start your own religion. Because the best in it, don't say the thing. We take all the religions of the world. They're not hooked with the righteousness of God. It's all filth. I don't care if it seems to do nice stuff and good stuff. God's eyes, it's not. Because it's not based in God's righteousness. It's not based in God's righteousness. The only righteousness that is allowed presence into the presence of God is God's own righteousness. You have to meet that standard. No human being in the earth, under the Old Testament, no matter how faithfully they walked to God, no matter how well they did, they couldn't go to heaven. When they died, they went to Abraham's bosom. Down underneath the earth was a divided two place. There was the place of punishment, hell, and it was Abraham's bosom. But they couldn't go to the presence of God, no matter how they walked. Why? Because they didn't have God's righteousness. They could not do it. They couldn't do it. They were separated from God because of the righteousness problem. God could not let anything in His presence that had an inferior righteousness to His. God's perfect. There's only one kind of righteousness that can enter His presence. It must be perfect. There is nothing imperfect in heaven. There will be no unperfect beings in heaven. There's nobody there going to be in heaven who doesn't have God's righteousness. They won't be there. These people, the Christians, and I know the Christians, they believe that, oh, you can get to heaven in other ways and do it. Total impossibility. Because nothing can enter the presence of God I mean, just think about it. God's presence in a temple. One man once a year could go into that presence. And he had to do everything exactly like the law said going in there, or they drug the guy out dead. That was meeting God in the earth. That wasn't going off to heaven to meet him. I know this. When Jesus came into my car in the spring of 1989, I'm going to tell you what, my flesh couldn't stand it, being in his presence. Well, my spirit didn't have a problem, but my flesh had a lot of problem with him coming in. My flesh thought it was going to die with that presence coming in the car, because his presence was absolutely, wow, just, and my flesh couldn't hardly stand it being in his presence. See, we need to understand this subject of righteousness, of who and what we really are, and what God has made us. I want to read a scripture here. Let's see. We're on here on time. Let's go over to look at Romans, because something that Romans said here. Again, Romans, the 5th chapter, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. See, this is one thing, as you understand, if you go over and read the book of Romans, like we read the 4th chapter, talks about faith. The 5th chapter talks about righteousness. So you need to understand this righteousness subject. You have to, or you can't, because it's the whole thing is having confidence in the presence of God. God wants you to be confident in his presence. And you can't do that unless you're right, or you have a right standing. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 17 says this, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one." Now, so he says death reigned. It ruled. Death was ruling. He said, look, "much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." So we see here what it says. Those who what? Receive. You have to receive it. There's something that you receive. He said you have to receive what? First, you get the you have to receive the abundance of grace. See, when people talk about grace as this unmerited favor, does that sound like abundance? No. He said, in other words, the church is supposed to do this. The believer is supposed to do this. They're supposed to receive. When they come to Christ, through Christ, Christ dealt with the sin issue. Why? So man could receive the abundance of grace and receive the gift of righteousness. Most Christians don't. I got saved. They never received nothing. They don't even know about righteousness. They don't even understand the subject. They sure couldn't have received the righteousness. See, we need to receive the righteousness of God. How do you receive? Well, you receive everything by faith. The same way as you talk around and you begin to confess and say. You know, it's Mark 11:23. If you say this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say are going to come to pass, you'll have whatever you said. We receive by what we say. Well, if Christians won't walk around and confess their righteousness, that they're as righteous, they have the righteousness of God, They don't ever say it. They can't receive it. It'll never come. It'll never dawn on them. You have to start to say, you know. And he said in Mark 11:24, well, whatever you ask when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Well, it's number one, the idea of saying, begin to speak into saying the right things. People need to say, look, if I got born again, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The ones who receive the abundance of grace, in other words, they believe grace is an abundant thing toward them rather than God just, you know, had mercy on an idiot. And I'm still the idiot, you know. No, you receive the abundance of grace. And he said the gift of righteousness. He said those ones will reign in life. Do you see why people don't reign in life? See, you can understand the principle of faith and never reign in life. Never reign in life. Now, you need to understand the principle of faith, for sure. But if you understand the principle of faith and what the Word says about it. Now, the Word says, now, grace was given to me in abundance. It wasn't just enough just to save me. You just got by, you old heathen. No, it was an abundance of grace. He said, you got the gift of righteousness, and we found out what that righteous gift was. It's God's righteousness. In other words, I'm as righteous as God is. Well, if I have God's righteousness, I can't be any less righteous than He is. I have God's righteousness. So I, in standing with God, I'm as righteous. That's why I can have this confidence that if I ask anything according to His will, I know He hears me. If you're not righteous, you can't have any confidence. If you don't have God's righteousness, you cannot. It's impossible for you to have confidence that anything that you'd ask, He'll give it to you. You can't have it. It's based on being as right as God is. And if your view is, I'm not as right as God is, well, people say, well, look, I've done things wrong. Well, sure you have. Your righteousness never was based on your perfection and actions. It never will be. It can't be because it would never work. That's your righteousness. That's not God's. I don't approach God based on my performance. I go to God based on His performance. That's why with people with faith, many times people talk about faith, they never live by faith because they always live by their performance. That ain't, you can't walk from faith to faith in your performance. You'll throw the towel in. You'll just say, that's it, I'm done. I quit this nonsense. This is crazy. Because it can't work. I don't care how well you do. I don't care if you hit it every for a whole week, every day, just Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. You can never approach God on that standpoint. You can never. You approach Him on the standpoint, I'm approaching your righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. I stand before you as righteous as you are. You called me that. I believe it's true. Now, I know that if I ask anything according to your word, I know you hear me. And I know I'm going to have exactly what I asked for. And I just want to thank you for that. See, most people have no idea to talk to God that way. They never talk to God that way. You know, they always the thee, thou, and all this kind of stuff. And they always go through their little routines and then try to do a little bit of begging with God and try to explain to God how bad they need it and, you know, go through all the rigmaroles of all the problems and things. And they don't approach God like they're righteous. They approach Him like they're not righteous. And, you know, well, He's merciful. I don't want to receive on the basis of mercy. I want to receive on the basis of faith. Faith will carry you much further than mercy. And see, many people, you know, God many times does bless people as much as He can in their ignorance. But there's no way that they can, they're going to understand or ever come to the place to walk in the fullness. It's not going to reign in life. And we want to come to the place where we reign. So, you know, we are supposed to take this righteousness by faith, and righteousness gives us a superior dominion in the earth over the principalities and powers. We have a superior dominion. We have a dominion in this earth that's based as God. When the Christian's walking around this earth, this Christian is as righteous as God is. But the Satan will come and say, yeah, but look, you did this, you made this, and yeah. And then people, yeah, you're right, I tell you, I'm just not. And we'll listen to what, you know, religion speaks to us, and we'll walk, and the Satan will run over top of us. We have a dominion that was given to us by God. That dominion is to reign. We're supposed to be the rulers in the earth. We're supposed to rule over their spirit realm. Satan is not supposed to be dominating. Satan isn't the one to dominate. We're the ones called to dominate. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of our Father God without any kind of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed. Does God's righteousness have any sin in it? See, you need to put on a different consciousness. The Christian needs to put on a different consciousness as in the presence of God to start to thinking, I belong there. I'm supposed to be there. You know, the Christians have always tried to do all kind of things to get to the presence of God. We got to do a lot of warm-up singing and doing this and doing that. And we're trying to get into the presence of God. We got to do these things. And people do it. You know, sometimes we got to do things to shut off the outer band so we get more to our heart. But most people don't do it from that. They think we have to go through these kind of things so God will accept us in His presence. No, we do things sometimes to become conscious of the presence of God. We should be more conscious of it a lot easier than what we are. We should be more conscious. But we should have the idea that God's presence, you know, Christians are the whole idea of the things of, well, we're trying to do all this stuff to get God's presence. It's like God is trying to stay away from us. He's trying, well, He does because of the way we think, because we're thinking unrighteously. So there's a disconnect, and the disconnect isn't God, it's us. We're disconnected from Him because of the lack of faith, because we believe the wrong things. We believe the wrong things instead of believing the presence of God. Standing in the presence of God as if sin never existed. I mean, do you ever think about the fact is, and really, it is. I mean, if you take a man, I mean, Adolf Hitler, I don't know what happened to him before he died or whatever, but I mean, if that man had accepted Jesus Christ right before his death, he has been as righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Now, most of the church wouldn't believe that, but God would sure believe it. He'd know it's true. But see, people don't think that way. They look at all you got to get fixed in your life. Because see, you're this certain thing and I got to get all this stuff fixed to become that. No, we are that. And the reason we learn the Word and study the Word is so we find out what we are so we can live at all the good stuff with God. Everything of the promises of God, everything that God said He would do for me, He would have done for me exactly the day I got born again if I'd have understood it all. If I'd have known it, He'd have done it all for me by asking. But I had to learn and develop to find out what was all in the account. I didn't know. And so I had to find out. The church does it exactly opposite. We're trying to do all this stuff to earn that stuff. You don't try to earn it. You try to find what it is and then receive it. Righteousness was one of the things I found out was mine, and I took it. I said, that one belongs to me. And see, you'll find out that that's one of the big reasons why some people get, you'll see people look, well, I don't understand. I live a better life. I've heard people say this to me. I live a better life than that person does. How come God always answers their prayers? He don't answer because you have a righteousness of your own. And that guy over there, he believes God will answer it. You know, that's the easiest thing in the world to figure out. Because this person over here thinks they're more holy or worse off than they do because they go to God based on think, I'm good, Lord God, I'm better than the other guy. Remember what they said to the guy? Hey, I'm glad I ain't like that sinner over here. What did God say about the deal? Who was the one more right? Who was the one more righteous out of the two of the bunch? Who was the one that was more right? You see, sometimes people sit around. See, religion is always asking questions. Can't figure out why nothing goes. Why I don't understand. Why I don't get my prayer answered. Oh, that's religion talking. The Bible tells you exactly how to do it. But religion, because religion's over here based on righteousness. And they're looking around. Well, what lever do I have to pull that God will all of a sudden respond to me? What do I got to do with this and what I got to do with it? No, it ain't what you got to do. It's what you got to believe. You got to believe what God did, not what you do. It's what God did. See, God sort of gets out of the picture, in a sense, to them. God's outside the picture. And so always make sure, though, when it comes to faith, in dealing with the areas of righteousness. We're going to talk some more of the areas about righteousness because it's such an important subject. Dealing with the subject here in faith, we're dealing with a little bit different than our perspective before about it, but we're tying it specifically here, looking at the areas of faith, is why it's so important to have confidence toward God. Is what you're going to have to is get your prayers answered. But to do that, you're going to, without a doubt, you're going to have to understand righteousness. Because why? It's your confidence in the presence of God. Do I really belong here? Can I really ask Him anything? Are those promises in the books really mine? Do I have to look at maybe, oh man, yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, but you don't know. I ain't. People say, well, I ain't perfect. Do you know what? Spiritually, I am. We need to understand this. And you need to come to understand it. Our perfection before God is based on faith. Not on our performance. It's but my faith. If faith does not make me perfect before God, then I have no grounds to get any prayer answered. God only responds to perfection. That's why you can't try to do it in the natural. Ain't nobody ever did it in the natural. There's only one guy that ever did it in the natural. His name was Jesus Christ. And that's why He, as a man, could die, was raised from the dead for our justification. There was nobody could ever do it. God said Abraham's faith was counted unto him as righteousness. God called him righteous after he produced an offspring that he wasn't supposed to. All of that. Why? That wasn't. His righteousness was based upon his faith, not all of his performance. God looked at his faith. Now, number one, if you keep having lousy performance, you'll lose your confidence toward God. You go over and what happens is you'll lose your confidence. But you can't turn around whether you're doing good. And I see people, you know, that do well, but I see a real problem they run into because they're trying to live off their own righteousness. And they start trying to get in the presence of God. I remember one time, you know, listening to a minister talking, and big name minister, and he's talking about, you know, you and giving, and he said about, you know, you need to write down all your giving and all you do, and then you take that before God. And I thought you'd do that. I said, you ain't got no right to take what you give before God and say, look what I did. Because you don't receive from God in the first place by what you give. You can only receive on the level that you can believe to receive from a faith. You can give $1 million, but you don't have $1 million of faith to get $1 million back. You ain't getting it back. You forget it. God can't give it to you. You have to do it some other way. God can't, because it's on the basis of faith. And so I can't take call my righteousness. Look what I did. You owe me, God. But God does owe it on the basis of righteousness. Oh, yeah. On the basis of righteousness, he owes his people. And you know what? I ain't pushing something on him. He made the system. He wants it that way. He decided the system. He made it. And man keeps throwing his system out because, God wouldn't do that. Because we're this old unrighteous thing. We're this old ugly thing. He wouldn't do that for us. He made the system. He made the system to make you righteous. So you had every bit of a right to stand and ask. That's why he did it. He laid the system out. It's absolutely remarkable. Man has fought it and fought it and fought it. And really, it gets their own demise. You know, God's a lot better than most people think he is. I don't care. You get people thinking God's good. God isn't only good. He is just incredible of what he does, his view of things. And he set up a system. And the wonderful thing that you need to understand is the faith system is an easy system. All I have to do is believe in his righteousness and not mine. Religion is hard. The hardest thing to ever follow is the works of men. That's hard religion. See, people say, oh, it's all hard to follow and be a Christian. It's the easiest thing in the world to be a Christian. It's all this other religious drunk trying to get on you out there. That's the hard part. It's all these people trying to lead you over into their righteousness. It's all these people trying to drag you off into their little formulas and ideas. The idea of faith is not a hard thing. Believe God is what he said he is, and believe what he said you are, and and calling yourself what he calls you. You know, people have trouble with faith. God says you're a believer. Ben said, I'm just having trouble believing. No, God said you're a believer. What in earth? You're always going to have trouble believing if you keep saying. You're going to always have what you say. I have trouble. Well, you said you have trouble, you know. So you're going to have trouble. That's, you said it. You set it in motion. You know, you need to understand this. It doesn't matter how much you believe the word's true in your heart. You're going to only get what you say with your mouth. You can believe perfectly what the word says, but say the wrong things out of your mouth, and what's in your heart will never come to pass. The only things that will come to pass is what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. You got to talk right. You got to say the right stuff. You can, on the inside, your inner man knows he's righteous. He knows it. But if you talk like you're not, it'll never manifest to you. And you'll always walk in an inferior place. It's what people say. People don't get this thing. It's talking this. And people say, oh, you're one of those name and claim it. You betcha. This is the way. That's how I got saved. If you didn't do it that way, then you ain't the same camp as me. You didn't get born again then. You just did something religious and you think you're saved. Probably end up in hell. Well, I don't want to end up there. There's loads of people that have a great zeal for God, and they ain't going to be with God. A great zeal for God. But they have their own idea of righteousness and what's right to do. Hallelujah. God made a simple plan. What you believe in your heart, start talking it. Hallelujah. Start saying it. One thing is receive the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. God made you righteous. And that's, and he made you as righteous as he is. Hallelujah. If God wants anything at all, wants his children in his presence. He wants his children to respond to him. He wants his children to ask. He said, ask and you receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. God gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to take everything that belongs to me and show it to you. And Christians sit around wondering, well, you know, sometimes God says yes, no. Where do they get this stupidity? I mean, you have to be almost demon-possessed to be so dumb.
I mean, the Bible is so clear in the subjects, yet people talk the opposite. Gave us the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost, living in us to show us everything that God has. Last time I checked, Jesus was God. Show everything he has. And people say, well, sometimes he don't want you to have it. What are you showing me if I can't have it? Don't bother showing it to me. Holy Ghost, go home. Leave me alone. Dear Lord, what is all this nonsense? But see, it comes down to the basis of righteousness. People say we have the Holy Spirit. They say these things, but they live like they don't deserve it. The Christian deserves the Holy Spirit. God thought so. He said it. He thought we deserved it. He thought we should have had him. That was his plan before the foundation of the world. So enjoy his plan. Hallelujah. Talk about his plan. Say about yourself what he says he is, and you want to start living a changed life? That'll change your life. It'll change your life to start to speak and talk, because it'll dawn on you one day what you really are. I know over time, you know, it took some time to say things and talk things. But I tell you, over time, revelation came, and all of a sudden I started to understand who this guy is. Hallelujah. We ain't like anybody else in this world. There's nobody compared to the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing compared to it. There isn't a group of people on this earth, I don't care who they are. The devil don't even come close to the church. He don't even shine a light on our feet. Hallelujah. We need to, if the church gains the understanding of these things, I'll tell you, it'll change everything. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Father God, Father, we recognize tonight, Lord God, what you did through Christ Jesus. Lord God, none of this has taken place or anything because of any great deeds we performed. We understand that, know that, Lord God. For Lord God, we know we didn't become righteous because of any of our performance. We know, but Father God, we accept the righteousness, your very own righteousness, given to us through faith in Christ Jesus. But we just want to let you know we appreciate it and thank you. Lord God, of all you did through us through Christ Jesus, you gave us the abundance of grace. Hallelujah. Father God, all the grace that you had, you poured out into this earth through Jesus Christ for your people to have and walk in. And I want to thank you for that. Lord God, Lord, there's so much of your ability to work on our behalf. It's absolutely phenomenal. We thank you, Father God, for giving us your very righteousness so we can stand in your presence, Lord God. Lord, without any kind of fears or worries, Lord God, of any inferiority, but Lord God, you gave us a superiority, Lord God, to overcome all those things, of those weaknesses that we had. Lord God, that we come into your presence, Lord God, confidence, full of hope, hallelujah. Knowing, Lord God, that whatever we ask, according to your will, that you do hear us. And Lord God, we know that we have the petitions that we request of you. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. And Father, you did this by your own volition. You decided to do that, Father, to deal, Lord God, with Satan and all the things that he had brought about around on humanity. Father God, you delivered us and set us free fully. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.